It's time to talk about the crew. Brought to you by Pool Park in Menominee Falls. Pool Park, a family-owned business that's been around since 1964, specializes in above-ground and semi-in-ground pools, hot tubs, water care, and pool service and maintenance. Plus, get 5% off cleaning supplies if you're wearing your favorite crew apparel. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily. Served up by Wendy's with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
All right, let's get to this. The wrap-up, the last time we'll talk to Andrew Wagner for this Brewers season. Don't forget, Pool Park, Menominee Falls. I'll be there a week from today doing our show. 2 to 5, Dimension One Spas. Oh, amazing. Above-ground pools. They got cleaning supplies for pools. They got games for the pools for you and your kids to play. Come on out. Hang out with me. 2 to 5 coming up next Friday. Joining us now is the aforementioned Andrew Wagner of Forbes Sports. Follow him on Twitter, by Andrew Wagner. Mr. Wagner, hello.
I heard from Charlie.
Yeah.
Who I hope he did well in algebra class today, young guy. That you're the positive voice of reason.
No. Listen, this is the thing. This all came from last night, and I've gone off multiple times today. I tweeted this out last night. Heck of a season. Sucks how they lost, but don't lose track of how much fun this season was. Hashtag Brewers. For that, I've had 51,000 impressions, 1,061 engagements, and all kinds of fun. And 96 people have liked it. 89 people have commented. 18 people have retweeted it. And a majority of it is hate and anger towards me for saying anything was fun about the season. And let's take it further to one more. I was reading tweets from some of my favorite ones that I got. Here is the one that really blew Charlie's mind that I read. Okay, are you ready? This is from Edward, who said, "What? The fun just died and was buried. No fun ever happened. Fun is an idea you read about in children's books. Nothing that was fun is still fun, and it never will be again."
Edward, there's a website I'd like you to check out. It's called BetterHelp.com. It is absolutely wonderful. You can pick your own therapist. You have, along with getting one video session a week, you also have unlimited chatting ability with your therapist.
I think I heard Dan Bernstein on The Score promote this.
Like, for the love of all that is Brian Schaus, seek help, man.
That is like what I had coming at me all night and all morning today. People, just one person sucked. Quote tweeted me, pointed down at my comment, Brew Crew Megan, pointed down at my comment and said, "The reason we'll never win one," and pointed to my tweet.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Because, you know, you're totally giving them a free pass and blah, blah. It's so stupid. And these are the same people. These are the same people that were saying last winter, "Oh, they're toast now that Council's gone. Council is the mastermind behind it all." They're the same people that a year earlier saying, "Oh, David Stearns is going to New York. Brewers are toast now. And Mark Gatenauer is cheap and should sell the team."
They traded Corbin Burns. It was all over.
Corbin Burns, they're trash. And then Deadman got hurt. They're trash. And then when April came, "Oh, well, they can't keep this up all year." And then when February came, "Oh, well, you know, sooner or later, these injuries are going to catch up to them." Then the All-Star break, "Oh, well, they always collapse in the second half." And then it's just, I am not a happy person, Sparky. I know this is a shock to you. I am not a happy person.
Charlie thinks you're hilarious.
God, what is wrong with people?
Charlie laughs at you and thinks you're the best.
I truly wonder if these people actually want the Brewers to win, or if they'd rather see them just go 0-162 so they can say, "Pop, I told you so. I told you so." Like, for the love of God. Last night sucked, but you can still look back and say, this was one hell of a season. Because no one saw this coming. No one saw it coming.
This is the thing that I said. I've said it multiple times, so I'll say it again. This reaction is not justified based on what we're talking about. This Brewers team is last year's Packers team. There were no expectations. They were super young, And both of these squads overperformed. Now, the difference is the Brewers won the division. Packers didn't. So they had to play a wild card. So, yes, you expect the division winner to beat a wild card. I get it. I understand it. Fine. But still, both teams are at the beginning of a very large window of success in front of them. Now, when we get to year 5 or 6 and Chirio's got a couple years left on his deal or whatever, and they still are struggling in the playoffs, okay, fine. Then I'm open to having this conversation all over again, because then the window may be closing again. When Giannis and the Bucks, if they don't finish here this year and then they take it apart next summer, then yes, you have every right to lose your mind, because the window was open and they got one, which is great. And again, not easy to get. They don't get a second and you wanted more. Fine, I get it. At the end of Favre's career, at the end of Rodgers' time in Green Bay, like, that all makes sense. But when you have a young team with no expectations, and then you come at me like everybody should have thought they were going to win, and the world's ending, and the organization sucks, and Mark should sell the team, and all this stuff, it's just nonsense. This front office is one of the best front offices in Major League Baseball, and it's going to put this team in a position to succeed for the next decade.
You're exactly right. And listen, I have seen, and this may also come as a shock to you, I tend to be a little snarky on the Twitter machine.
First time hearing that. Or seeing it.
Yeah. This is the whole same old Brewers thing. Last year, you're totally allowed to say that, because for the most part, that core had been in place since 2018.
Correct.
So last year, absolutely justified.
Yep.
This is truly a new team. And yes, it stinks to lose again in October, in the first round, especially the way that they did. But you had a team this year that was young and hungry, and that's what fueled them to this point. Now you're going to run it back with a majority of the same guys who are not only still young and still hungry, but they're also experienced now. And just based off what I saw last night, these guys are going to show up to camp pissed off, because they feel like they missed an opportunity. They feel like they missed a chance to write their own legacy, and they feel like they should still be playing. They truly believed, like, the other dumb thing that I hear is, all these guys are just happy getting into the playoffs and nothing else. What a load of crap. These guys are pissed because they truly believed they could get to the World Series and win the damn thing. So now you're going to have this group that's young and hungry, that's now got experience under the belt, that knows the rigors, that knows what to expect, that knows how this stuff goes, and they're going to be pissed. And man, is that a recipe for a core moving forward. I mean, you have the majority of these guys now for a couple of years.
Yep.
Talk about the economics all you want. You've got these guys mostly all pre-arb, early arb. Hello, you've got a core. You've got one of the best player development staffs in all of the game. You've got a front office that is not admittedly going to go out and sign the superstar to the 7-year deal because they're bad deals. But this is the kind of thing that's attractive to free agents who are looking to finally get that one ring and might be willing to take the 1 or 2 year deal instead of the 5, 6, 7 year deal that they might be able to get elsewhere to win a damn ring.
Agreed.
I hate being the voice of optimism, and you can go ahead and call me a management stooge, whatever all you want, but if you step back and look at the reality of the situation, the best thing that could have happened in this Brewers team was to go in this year, have that above expectation season, get their heart absolutely crushed in the playoffs, because that, more than anything, is what fuels a young core.
Let's talk about Devin Williams, shall we? Because I do want to talk about the game a little bit here. I obviously was not a fan of letting Tobias Myers not go a third time through the rotation. I literally said it yesterday. I said, if he's at 70 or so pitches and he's throwing shutout baseball, let him go the third time. I do not care. I want him to go through and extend this game if he can. So in typical Pat Murphy fashion, he pulls him. Now, he pulls
up. It wouldn't have mattered.
But
it wouldn't have mattered.
Hold on.
You're still giving the ninth to Devin.
Hold on a second. I understand that. Just let me finish. So the reason why we don't like going third time through the order, because I was livid last night on Twitter about that, saying how much I hate the move. People are like, oh, they're hitting 327 again. Some third time through the order. It was the right move by Pat Murphy. That's why you do it. Okay. So then they bring McGill in again. They use him super early in the sixth. He does his job. Then they go to, who do they go to in the seventh? what's the knucklehead's name from Colorado they traded
Beer,
for?
Snickers.
Yeah, yeah. So they bring him in. I didn't like that move either. I was like, oh my God, what are we doing? This is not the one I want in this situation. He pitches out of his mind. Brilliant move again by Pat Murphy. Wasn't a big fan of it. Then Peralta, nobody saw coming in the eighth. He comes in. He does his job fine. Now, if we're going to tell me that starting pitching can't go third time through the lineup because their numbers are so good against our pitchers third time through the lineup, then don't you think this is a relative stat? Devin Williams pitched six times in regular season games this year on consecutive days. On the second day of those back-to-backs that he pitched, he had this was before last night, before the wildcard game, a 10-1-3 ERA, a 20% walk rate, a 1.88 whip, and an 8.48 OPS against in those other opportunities where he pitched back-to-back. And if we're going to be analytically driven and go by the numbers, then maybe that wasn't the smartest move. Maybe Peralta should have pitched the ninth. Maybe they should have done something different.
You have a valid argument. You have a valid argument. I'm not going to sit there and debate that. You're going to go by the numbers one way. You should go by the numbers all way. But I just, 9 times out of 10, you're giving that ball to Devin because he gets the job done.
Not according to those numbers. Not in that situation.
Yeah.
Now, hold on. I got more. Did you see the John Boy video?
Who would you have gone to? Who would you have gone to in the ninth inning?
I would just let Peralta. I think what happened was they got Peralta up in the seventh, figuring it was going to be 0-0, and he wanted somebody that could extend for two or three innings into extra innings if need be, if this stayed scoreless.
That's what I'm thinking.
Then the eighth inning came, and they were up because they hit the home runs in the bottom of the seventh. So he said, well, I've already got him warm. I'm going to pitch him one inning, and then we'll get to Devin Williams. But again, if we're going to be numbers driven, they should have just let Peralta go back out for the ninth and finish it. But again, you don't do it because he's the closer. That's what you pay him to do. So you put him back out there despite the numbers, and it blows up in your face. But there's one other thing. Did you see the John Boy video out there from Devin Williams against Pete Alonso that at bat? Have you seen it?
No, I have not.
Go look at it. It is, I played the audio earlier. They literally break down. You can tell what he's throwing between fastball or changeup based on glove position and hand position in the glove. Every single time. And you could literally see Alonso go, okay, change up, here we go. And boom, he throws it, smacked. I mean, it's ridiculous. He was completely tipping his pitches. They had it. They had him figured out the second time. And Charlie pointed this out. He goes, want to bet that the reason he gets beat up the second day is because teams figure out how he's tipping pitches and they get to him the second day? Very well could be. Don't know. But that also isn't very comforting as a Brewers fan.
No, that's disconcerting, and this is the first I've heard of it, mainly because I've avoided everything today.
Yeah.
I'll check that out. Sparky breaking some news here.
Yeah, it literally, he takes a glove image and literally puts it on top of where the glove is to show you the difference of where he holds it, fastball to changeup. And then the depth of where his hand is for both pitches as well. And the shape of the glove changes too based on where his hand is. It's amazing. Andrew Wagner, Forbes Sports.
I get for sleeping through the day.
That's okay. I wish I was sleeping too. Andrew Wagner, Forbes Sports. Follow him on Twitter at @byandrewwagner. Thank you, my friend, for doing this all year. It was awesome. Thank you.
We'll talk Bucks soon, my friend.